Good morning, it is the 3rd of December, the year is 2018, and it's the last of the month. Before we head to 2019, and we are heading there fast. Would have been faster if we did not have an engine like Train 18, India's first locomotive-less train that breached the 180 km/h speed limit during a test run on Sunday. So soon, this Shatabdi replacement may be more reliable than the flights we take, unless we get totally pilot-free flights. Jet Airways has cancelled at least 14 flights to various destinations on Sunday after some of its pilots reported sick over non-payment of their salaries. It's not the speed at which we are going, but the destination that we are heading to that will be as important as the cost of the speed at which we are going. India will be at the forefront of negotiations as a leading developing country to push for climate action when talks begin today in Poland. The World Bank has already this morning unveiled $200 billion in climate action investment for 2021-25, adding this amount to a doubling of its current five-year funding. Expectations are muted for the week's meetings given divisions within Europe and tension between United States and China. Our delegates from about 195 nations will seek to produce a rule book to flesh out details of the Paris Agreement of 2015, which the United States, at the behest of President Donald Trump, has announced it will quit. And from climate change, we head to the Indian political climate, where Ajay Kumar Bisht, aka Yogi, and the chief Yogi Amit Shah kept on spreading a climate of hate. Yogi Adityanath on Sunday warned AIMIM leader Asaduddin Owaisi that he would have to flee Telangana the same way the Nizam was forced to flee Hyderabad if the BJP came to power in the state. Amit Shah, who was speaking at an election rally in Mehboobnagar's Narayan Pet, said both the Telangana Rashtra Samiti, which is the TRS, and the Congress believed in the appeasement of minorities, claiming that the Congress has promised free electricity to mosques and churches, but not temples. Where is all the development talk? Gone with 2014, I say. If you haven't heard about the farm success of the government, it's only because the newspapers are not telling you the achievements of this government. One man was so struck at the object poverty of the ruling party, which has 95% of party funds coming from electoral bonds, which have no way to be tracked, that he decided to make a rich donation. For that, all he had to do was sell all his onions. Speaking to the PTI on Sunday, Sanjay Sathe, a farmer in Maharashtra, said, "I produced 750 kg of onion in this season, but was offered a rate of rupee 1 per kg at Nipard wholesale market last week. Finally, I could negotiate a deal of rupees 1.40 per kg and received rupees 1,064 from 750 kg. This is what the farmer said, and he also carried on, and he said, "It was painful to see such paltry returns on 4 months of toil, hence I have donated rupees 1,064 to Disaster Relief Fund of the Prime Minister Office as a protest. I had to pay additional rupees 54 for sending it by money order." He said, "I do not represent any political party, but I am angry because of the government's apathy towards our woes." And if it was a farmer that was throwing some light on development claims, then it was a Supreme Court former judge who threw some light on his actions vis-a-vis the government. In a stunning claim, recently retired Supreme Court Judge Kurian Joseph said that he and three other most senior judges held a much-discussed press conference on January 12th of this year, as they felt the then CJI Deepak Mishra was being controlled from outside and was allocating cases to judges with political bias. Just 2 days after his retirement from the Supreme Court, Justin Kurian Joseph was speaking to TRI when he said minority tag was a hindrance to career progression of members of religious and ethnic minority communities and feared it could get worse in the coming years given the situation in the country. We're talking about situations in the country. Let's head to some international news. The big news there is perhaps Paris riots. The French President Emmanuel Macron has instructed his Prime Minister to hold talks with protest groups after anti-government demonstration led to worst violence in central Paris in a decade, with more than 100 people injured as cars and buildings were set alight. Macron is facing his biggest crisis since taking office 18 months ago after the violence erupted on Saturday following weeks of street protests that began against fuel taxes and have turned into an anti-government movement. And from clashes in Parisian street, we head to the trade war between China and USA. Donald Trump has delayed for 90 days his threatened imposition of 25% tariffs on most Chinese imports after a dinner meeting with Xi Jinping to give time for negotiations on long-standing trade disputes between the two countries. Trump said their dinner after the G20 summit in Buenos Aires was an amazing and productive meeting with unlimited possibilities for both the United States and China. Well, the last news bit for you is coming in from Nigeria, actually from Poland, where its president, Muhammadu Buhari, has denied claims that he had died and was replaced by a Sudanese imposter, breaking his silence on a rumor that has circulated on social media for months. On the sidelines from the climate change meet at Poland, when asked about Jubril, his imposter, Buhari told Nigerians in the town hall sessions, and we quote, "It's the real me. I assure you, I will soon celebrate my 76th birthday and I will go strong," unquote. Buhari told Nigerians where he was attending a conference on the sidelines of Poland. That's all from us. Stay away from imposter. Not sure if one should stay away from imposter syndrome though. On that thought, goodbye, happy and a productive week ahead. I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye from takeapart.in.